Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and no, the podcast, it did not die. We were just dealing with some stuff in the background as things evolve and change, and that's just how stuff goes sometimes. And I was busy doing some football and some basketball and on and on and on. I know you don't care about that stuff, but I just want to say I apologize. I know it's been a break, and basically the last guy we had on just dominated Kapalua, so maybe that will be kind of a theme for 2019 and beyond. This week's podcast is brought to you by Titleist and the all-new Titleist TS2 and TS3 drivers and fairway metals. And they've given two options to get more speed. The Titleist Golf Club R&D team has found speed from every detail of the driver, and now they're ready for you to experience Titleist speed. I gain distance. Let me tell you, I gain distance with my Titleist. I got the TS3 in the bag. And my uncle, who is basically always negative about my golf game, God love him, was like, oh, you can't change drivers. That driver's not for you. And the other day he told me, that's the best I've ever seen you hit a driver. And that is from my uncle's mouth, Captain Negative. So if he says that, it must be true. And I got to tell you, you need to get fit yourself so you can pick up distance and clubhead speed. You can find driver fitting locations now on Titleist.com. And stay tuned as we have a sweepstakes coming out in the near future where you can win a TS2 or TS3 driver, and we'll send it to your house, and you won't even have to pay for shipping. Isn't that a bonus? Free driver, no shipping, head cover, a tool in there, and hopefully you'll get fit for it. Those are all great things, all brought to you from Titleist as we get set for 2019. Already had an event down. Of course, as I mentioned, Xander played unbelievable. Aaron Oberholzer was out on the golf course with him throughout that final round where he chased down Gary Woodland and snagged his fourth career victory, and Aaron jumped on the podcast with me to chat a little bit about it. I know it was a couple days ago, but we talked in-round interviews that they rolled out in Golf Channel that I thought did a great job with them. We talked a little bit about the season and some stuff we do and don't do right, considering how good the young guys are these days as on-course analysts. So one of my favorite dudes in the business, and it was a lot of fun chat with him. This year with the clubhouse, we're going to continue with some guests. We're going to have some stuff change up a little bit here and there around some of the bigger events. But the hope is that we will continue the consistency of the podcast after this break that you just had to endure. And I feel bad. A lot of people live in really cold weather areas, and they just sit at home with podcasts in their earbuds. And if I'm not giving you one, for goodness sakes, what are you listening to? Before we get to Aaron, I just wanted to let you know one more thing. You know what is smart? Kicking off 2019 by planning out which roles your business needs to hire for. You know what else is smart? Starting the new year off strong by going to ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse to hire the right people. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Yes, for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners, that's you right now, can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. If you love the show, show your support to it. And by going to ZipRecruiter.com/the clubhouse, that's ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So you've heard from me. Yes, you have. You've heard from Titleist. That's true. And you've heard from ZipRecruiter. You know what? Let's hear from our guest. And we welcome back to the clubhouse. It's been 2 years, Aaron Oberholzer. That seems like way too long. I can't believe it. I had to go back and look through the archives. But Aaron Oberholzer is here live from Hawaii. And I don't want to start with the whole people are jealous of you thing. I mean, you're there for 2 weeks. It's got to be great. I know the family's out there with you. I want to ask about the vibe of the broadcasting team, because I've worked in places that are awesome. You know, we've been to Pebble Beach, we've been to those types of places, and I feel like everybody's kind of strolling around and has a smile on their face. And then I've been to maybe some not so awesome places. What's the vibe like for 2 weeks when you guys get to enjoy Hawaii?
I think everybody's a little more relaxed, a little not very on edge. You know, where I think, you know, even last week's event, you know, it's the first event of 2019. We've got all this new stuff we're putting into the broadcast. We've got new graphics, PGA Tour is allowing us to do walk and talks, things like that. And you know, you would think that everybody's on edge. And there was a slight bit of tension in the Wednesday meeting, just a little bit, but not like it could have been, I think, if we were stateside. We had the we had the Aloha spirit going for sure last week, and it was really, you know, I get to work with great people every week. I'm very lucky with about that. Pros. You know, I'm the young guy on the crew as far as, you know, the experience side. I mean, Kurt Byram's got 20 years experience. Frank's got 20 years experience. You know, Mark Rolfing's got 30 years experience broadcasting. So, I mean, to have those guys, and then you look at my producer, Brant Packer, who's, you know, I think the world of and is a phenomenal producer. You put that team together, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, quite honestly, and learn from these guys, because I've learned so much from each one of those guys throughout the 4 or 5 years that I've been doing stuff in live golf, and I'm still learning every day. So to have that kind of crew, though, makes life a lot easier for anybody, I think.
Yeah, I mean, is there talk, I don't want to get too nerdy TV insider, as you and I kind of like that stuff, but is there talk throughout the week before you guys get going, reminding people this is an Hawaii event, this is prime time, it does feel relaxed? Because I always feel like the broadcast, especially in the first event, because it is a tournament of champions, you know, there is a limited field. It's not on TV all day and all night long. But I've always felt like when you're watching it, it feels like a little bit of a vacation. Is that reiterated from producers to you guys, or is that just kind of how it comes off?
That's just kind of how it comes off, quite honestly. I honestly think that that's just the islands. I mean, that's just what the islands do to everybody. You know, we want to make great television. There's no doubt. And everybody is in, I think everybody's actually better because they're relaxed. I think that when you get too on edge, you make mistakes, or you don't add anything. I think doing television is no different than playing golf at the highest level.
Right.
Doing television at the highest level is no different than playing golf at the highest level, just due to the fact that you can't play golf when you're anxious and you're uptight and you're nervous. It doesn't allow your body and your mind to be free. You're constantly trying to do things that maybe you can't do, or not allowing your body or your mind to do things you know you can do. And I think that when you're relaxed, everything happens in a positive light, for the most part, on TV and on the golf course. And that's kind of how the way I look at it. But when you're uptight, I think it's tougher to do television.
Absolutely. I remember we had a meeting this year at Shinnecock Hills on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I can't remember who stood up. It might have been Joe. It might have been Zinger. It might have been Curtis, for goodness sakes. But somebody stood up and just said, and, you know, this is a room of, you know, three digital feed broadcasting teams and the full broadcasting team, which is obviously a lot larger than some of the other stuff we do. And somebody stood up and said, just a reminder, we're doing golf, and golf is supposed to be fun. And the whole room kind of looked around, and you're like, yeah. You know, I mean, you're stressed out. It's a big week. It's the biggest week we do. But as you said, when you're relaxed and enjoying it, it really seems to kind of roll off the tongue a lot better. Somebody that seems unbelievably relaxed, and somebody you got a chance to walk with on Sunday, is this 25-year-old kid in Xander Schauffele, who I feel like coming into the season and maybe even parts of last season is this forgotten young player. And he does what he did on Sunday, as you mentioned in your post-run interview, you know, one of the best rounds you've ever seen in person. And I'm just wondering, do you now think with this win and what he continues to do on these final rounds and down the stretch, making birdies on 17 and 18 kind of throughout all of his victories, is he now in that class of 10, 15 players that you consider the upper echelon, if you will, of the PGA Tour?
Well, he's put him there with his play. I mean, I guess you have to. You know, he's sixth in the world now, and I don't know that there's a ceiling for the young man. Quite honestly, I haven't seen one. He does a lot of things really well. There's not, you know, you talk about holes, and we said the same thing about Jordan Spieth. Now we found the hole in Jordan Spieth's game as we continue to go. You know, in 15 now. There were no holes in Jordan Spieth's game in 15. There were very few in 16. There was one in 17. There was one last year, you know, obviously two last year actually with the putting, but that one big hole in Jordan Spieth's game has become kind of, he just doesn't really have the distance. Well, what do you need to do if you don't have that 300 plus yard drive every week? And every hole that you can count on, like Xander does, you know, like Dustin Johnson, like Jason Day, like Rory McIlroy. Well, what do you do? Well, you've got to up the other parts of your game. Well, Xander doesn't have to worry about that. Xander's got that distance, but Xander can also putt. He can also hit irons. He can hit wedges. He's a phenomenal pitcher of the golf ball. He's got beautiful touch around the greens, which I think goes unnoticed to a certain extent because of his ball striking, which short game does go unnoticed with most great ball strikers. But a lot of great ball strikers don't ball strike great all the time, so they have to get it up and down. So that's something that saves rounds. It turns 71s and 72s into 70s and 69s, which keep tournaments going and keep you alive for a chance to win. And that's what great players do, and that's what I think Xander is underrated in that regard. Now, given him all the accolades that he doesn't have, the one thing that I would caution it's people to watch out for and want to see Xander do a little bit better. First of all, I think if you're going to knock him, you're going to say, okay, he's never won from ahead. He's never won with the lead, you know, with an outright lead. Okay, well, he's a come-from-behind guy. Okay, that's fine. I think that time will come. I think he can hold a lead. I think he's got the mental makeup to be able to do that, to hold a lead. And the other thing I think is his style of play. He is so aggressive, so aggressive. Nothing says it more than that shot he hit on 17. When he,
I was going to ask time, you about that one in a minute.
Oh, he had a one-shot lead, and I'm sitting in that fairway, and you probably heard the call from Kurt Byram and I when we were talking, and I said, Kurt, if this kid goes any further left than 30 feet left of the flag, or 30 feet right of the flag, it's too far left. And I was dead serious about that. And I'm sure people are out there, oh, this is a new breed, Aaron. You're an old guy. You know, that's how you play golf. I can just picture people in my head saying this. But I'm sitting there going, people don't understand. If you've never hit that shot from 200 and some odd yards down that hill where that ball hangs in the air forever and you don't know exactly what the wind's going to do to it, if he pulls it a hair, he's potentially down in the penalty area with a brutal dropping three, hitting a four shot. Brutal. So, you know, and looking, staring six square in the eyes, and that's the end of the tournament. Done. Over. Forget about it. But he pulls it off and takes birdie to take a one-shot lead going into 18. One-shot lead that was – we would turn into a one-shot lead.
Right.
Gary obviously came over and birdied. But for certain golf courses, and I said on Twitter that I felt that he would win a major – he's definitely a major winner in my opinion, but the things that he's going to have to do at a major, I think he's going to have to kind of cool down that aggressive play. Can't be that aggressive at Augusta constantly. You definitely can't be that aggressive at Pebble Beach coming up this summer. You cannot do that. You're going to have to take 30 feet. You're going to have to, you know, front edge plus five when those greens get like bricks. You can't fire at every flag, and he'll adjust, I believe. But at major championships, you're not, you know, on the PGA Tour regular season events, week in, week out, yeah, fire flags all you want for the most part. But when it comes to major championships, you've got to understand when to back off and when, you know, okay, yeah, 25, 30 feet left or right here is fine. So that aggressive nature, he'll have to just kind of temper that just a little bit when he goes into the major championships and have a little safer game plan. But he can still, in my opinion, still win those things. Being the Xander we all know, he's just going to have to dial it back just a tad bit.
Have you noticed, I've had an issue with this, and you made a great point of it earlier when you were talking about the shot at 17. Have you had to change your mentality as an on-course announcer with this new age group? Because I've said the huevos of these young kids can make us look really stupid if you're saying stuff like that. I've said it last year on a couple of flop shots at the U.S. Amateur. I'm going, it's a really hard shot. And then they hit it to a foot, and you're going, oh, okay, well, I mean. And it's like their talent makes us look silly, but you almost have to remind yourself that these guys don't have any fear.
No, they don't. And you know, it's funny. There are certain times that I played too conservatively from the fairway in when I played. I was all about just GIR, GIR, GIR. But we didn't have the advanced statistics and analytics that these guys have now. We had decent stats, but we didn't have all the strokes gained when I played. It was all inputted after the fact. Now I can go back and look at my strokes gained because they've gone back all the way like 2004 with strokes gained, and I can see like where I was good against the field. But I didn't have that then. So I always played very safe from the fairway in, especially my deal was 7 iron down, depending on where the flag was, attack. Anything up from 7 iron, unless I was really feeling it, it was center of the green and maybe move it towards the flag a little bit. But for the most part, take the 20-footer, and if I made a mistake and pulled it toward a flag or pushed it toward a flag, fine. Now these guys are literally just looking at the flag. They don't care about what else is around. So I've had to, and it's been hard for me, but I've had to adjust a little bit my broadcast style to understand how each player plays. But there are still guys that play a little more conservatively that are just about the GIR, the green and regulation, that are just looking, you know, don't want to make the big mistake because maybe they don't have the 5 birdie round capability like Xander. So it's still understanding what the player can and can't do. And there are still guys that can only make 3.5, 3.8 birdies a round, in which case that, you know, a double hurts them, hurts those guys bad. But if you're making 4, 4.5, 5 birdies a round, like some of these guys are now, like a Cameron Champ, I mean, it does, you make a double, it doesn't matter. You're right. you're going to make 5, 5, 5.5 birdies a round to make that up. So, it totally depends on the player's game. But you're right. I get stuck once in a while in strategic situations as a broadcaster thinking, okay, one shot lead, this is how I'd play it.
Right.
But a lot of these young kids are very different with the way they think, which I think is cool. And it's great for the broadcast. And I don't mind me sounding that bad, quite honestly, because, there's no right way to play the game, in my opinion. Some guys are uber aggressive. Some guys, maybe if it was a different guy up there who was under par, he would look at that flag and go, I'm going to play that 20, 25, 30 feet right of the flag. You don't know at that time. You don't know if they pushed it really, quite well, honestly. So he might have pushed it over there and you might have sounded like a genius.
Yeah. It's so hard for me sometimes, I think, to remind myself that you nailed it. There's not a flag that is tough to go at anymore for these guys. And if you ever play with them, or if you're ever out there walking with them, or even just, you know, outside the ropes watching, just watch at how many shots are at the flag. Now it might be 15 feet short or 15 feet long, but it's not like they're turning it in anymore. It's right at it. And you're like, oh, okay, well that's how you're going to play it. I want to ask you, what was more ridiculous, the shot into 17 or that second into 18 for Xander?
I would say the shot into 17 still, quite honestly. I know, you know, the shot into 18, you've got a massive bail area right, just like you do 17. They're very similar shots, except for distance. You know, you got downhill lies. You've got very similar conditions on both golf shots. I would say 17. I just think that 18, I've hit that shot at 18, and I've hit the shot at 17. And the shot at 17... still to this day, when I'm looking down that hill, I can picture myself when I played in the Century Tournament of Champions and think back to hitting that shot. And I'm just, you're sitting up there, you know, trying to use the contours. I was trying to use the contours of the green from 210 yards down that hill. And these guys are going right at it. 18, you're always, I would think you're never looking at that flag. You're never looking at the green on 18. You're always looking at the right center, or you're looking at a flag by one of the in the grandstands. You're looking at one of those flags blowing a little right to left or down or something like that, right to left and down. And you're picking it as far a right line, but not so far right that it's going to hang up there. Right edge of the green to maybe 4 or 5 steps right of the green. And that's where you're starting it. Now, if it ends up there, you're fine. It bounces down on the green and does what we always see. If you draw it in a little bit, that's when you get the money shot like what Xander did. And you roll it up there to 11 feet for eagle. But they're never looking at that flag on 18. Never. I can promise you that.
I can't believe he was looking at the flag on 17. I want to talk
about... that's what I'm saying.
you mentioned it already. You guys had those in-round interviews at the Century Tournament of Champions. I'm assuming you're going to have them this week at the Sony and on and on and on. And it was a partnership with the PGA Tour, allowing you guys to kind of sneak in there as these players are playing. And there was a funny moment. I think it was Patton Kizzire almost got hit by a golf ball. And then you had a great line of thought after. But what was the conversation like, not just this week and last week, but going into it, how you approach the players, who you can approach, And I've heard that they're allowed to say, no, I'm good. I'm going to skip this one right now.
Yeah, so how we do it and how we discussed it, Bones and I talked with our producer, Brant Packer, last week, and how we all discussed it was that we were going to go up to the player each day, even if they were a no, an unequivocal no, okay? And we were going to say, hey, today, how about today? Are you okay today? No, Aaron, I'm good. Or I'm a maybe. Like Gary Woodland, I walked with him twice last week. He was a maybe on the sheet. And so for me, it was no doubt every day I had to go up to Gary, which I don't mind at all. And I don't mind a player saying maybe. That's just cover for us actually to help us to make sure that you understand that, okay, I asked you. And so there's no misunderstandings. Well, like what we're trying to avoid is a potential problem with, I asked the player before the round and he said no. And then the player says, well, no, I would have done him if he would have asked me after the round. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So we want to make sure every day, whether it's a yes, no, or hey, maybe just give me the signal. And it's just a simple, I just kind of show him the mic and point to him. And I can do it from 100 yards across the fairway, and most of the guys know what I'm talking about with these walk and talks. And if I could get waved off, and I didn't get waved off once last week on course. So everybody, when I wanted to talk and I felt it was the right time, and our producer Brant Packer said, hey, can you get him? I never got the cold shoulder, which I really want to thank the players for that. I want to thank Patton. I want to thank Mark Leishman, who I got two interviews with Mark Leishman and then two with Gary Woodland. I want to thank those guys a lot because those guys really made the broadcast. And those guys, I think whenever you can get information from a player directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak, it just adds so much value to the broadcast. And for the people at home to be able to hear what those guys are really thinking and what they're thinking about that day is massive. And I love the endeavor and I love the initiative. Unfortunately, Shane, they're not going to do them past this last week. So we wanted it. We wanted it this week. We wanted it for 2 weeks. We wanted it next week when I'm not going to be there next week at the Desert Classic. But our producers wanted it for the Desert Classic because we think that it's gone very well this week. And I think I hope the players think it went very well this last week. But it's got to go back. It was just a test [S2] Okay. [S1] For the PGA Tour. And it was a test for the players. And now it's got to go back to the pack and to the committee. And the players have to discuss it, and then they have to bring it back to Jay Monahan and the commission, say, hey, this is what we need to change. This is great. No, it's great. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And but I thought they went as well as they could have went for the first week. And, we were given a script and what we could and couldn't ask. And,
right.
And I think we did a good job following it to as best we could.
Wanted to take a quick break to let you know about Robinhood. It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and crypto, all commission-free. That's right. No commissions at all. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just for the wealthy. And Robinhood is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers like myself to invest for the first time with true confidence. Robinhood is simple and intuitive with a clear design that shows data presented in an easy-to-digest way. And here's why I personally recommend Robinhood. There's no commission fee. Well, that's a bonus. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. That's a bonus. It's easy and simple. Easy to understand charts, market data. Plus, it allows 4 tabs on your smartphone, and that is it. Robinhood web platforms also let you view stock collections, okay? And collections are sectors like entertainment, social media, and analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every single stock. And you learn by doing it. Yes, you learn. It's an app that teaches you stuff. That's a bonus. You learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds and custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Now, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple or Ford or Sprint to help build your portfolio. All you got to do is sign up at clubhouse.robinhood.com. That's clubhouse.robinhood.com. That is Robinhood. Let's get back to Aaron. It's interesting because, I've heard a lot of people, especially as they were starting last week, talk Mike and the players, Mike and the players, Mike and the players. And my issue with Mike and the players is, A, the PGA Tour is not going to allow anything out there that that I kind of think we actually want to hear. It's kind of like when you get those coaches – interview, you know, the mic'd coaches, or you get the players like in the NFL that have the mics on. I mean, nothing ever comes out of those things that I would call quote unquote interesting. I mean, it's very safe. I mean, somebody's listening to that, making sure they're not talking about scheme or they're not cursing or any of that stuff. So what I like about the in-round interview is you're able to control it. You're able to ask a couple of questions. Yeah. I love that you guys were two questions max. I felt like that was really, really smart just to get in and out of their way. And you actually can talk to them about what's going on.
That was actually on the sheet as one of the things we could and couldn't do. They had two questions max, four players per day. And it's got to be about something in round. It cannot be what happened yesterday. It can't be looking ahead to the future. You're trying, and as a player, I like that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I would want the same thing as a player if I was being interviewed in the middle of a round on course. And so, you know, I agree with you on the miking situation. I've never liked the ideas of mic'd up players. First of all, I've done it. It's cumbersome. It's actually cumbersome to have a mic on you and to feel this cord on you and da da da. It's you know, you never know if they got the cord on right. Does it work with how much my body can move, so on and so forth. That's number one, just the physical kind of issues it can bring and the feel, you know. And then you got this pack in your back pocket where you normally put your yardage book, or you got to switch it over to the other pocket where you normally have nothing, so now you have something there and potentially thinking about that. You know, it's the mic stuff. I've never been about micing up players or micing up caddies. I've never been about that. I've never really liked that. We've got these great, you know, boom microphones out there, the effects mics that can pick up radio free Europe, for goodness sakes. I mean, if the guys hit the trigger on those things, I mean, you can hear everything.
You got it.
Yeah. Really good.
You can hear wildlife
really
from Kapalua.
Conversations last week. But I think that the fact that we can control the interviews, and as long as we, I think this it keeps everything simple. The questions have to be simple. They have to be direct. They have to be to the point. And it has to be about what's going on right then and there, about that day. And then you just got to use your best judgment as a broadcaster to ask. You know, and for me, I want to ask positive. I want to ask questions to the positive to the player. I don't want to ask negative questions. What's going on to the positive today? And so, especially in play. And if you can do those things, then you're in good shape. So I'm hoping they bring it back. I had a blast talking to the guys on course. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see how the players felt about it and how the pack feels about it and how it looked on television and so on and so forth.
Yeah, something I initially didn't like to do when I first started doing this is I didn't like going out on the range before rounds and talking to guys. And a producer of mine once told me, he said, you know, this is their job too. I mean, you know, their job as independent contractors and as, you know, partners with the PGA Tour and the USGA and whichever group they work with is they're selling themselves, they're selling the event, they're selling interest. And so they get it. And, you know, when you go up to a Ricky Fowler before a round and he does an interview and answers a couple questions, you get out of his way, you realize that. And I think this is very much the same. I mean, it's a chance for these guys to have a quick conversation, to maybe give one or two things that's going well in their round. You know, I got a great break here on 14, or the putter's been hot, or whatever they tell you. And as a player like yourself, you understand, you know, I'm not going to get in these guys way longer than a minute, minute and a half, and I'm going to get out. And I think it's, to me, I think it's a great first step. And I thought you guys did a great job with it. And I'm hoping that it continues. And I'm hoping they bring this thing. I hope this becomes the norm. My only question, and I was wondering about this the first time I saw you do it, is what happens if a guy's like 11 deep through 15? Is it like the pitcher? Is it like the no-hitter? Yeah, they're like, hey, go talk to Justin Thomas.
I was so scared of that because Gary Woodland was playing really well. I believe it was on was it Friday or Saturday? I can't remember my first interview with Gary. I think it was Friday, and he was playing pretty well. He was six or seven deep, walking down 17. And Brant gets in my ear, and he was a maybe, and I hadn't flashed the mic to him all day. And Brant gets in my ear. He says, hey, what do you think? You think you can get him now? And we weren't really thinking about it or talking about it the rest of the day, because I can't remember who Gary was playing with that day, but he was an unequivocal no and wouldn't talk, which is fine. I totally I will never fault a player for not wanting to talk in the middle of a round. And I said, sure, I can find out. So I flashed the mic to Gary, and boom, Gary was on it. He was like, yeah, sure, let's talk. like, oh my gosh, all right. I wasn't expecting it. So, you know, you got to come up with two questions and you get going and you get moving. I think the endeavor is going to catch on, and guys are going to realize, to your point, how important it is for their brand.
Yeah.
Gary and Mark, with those two interviews, they did two interviews each with me, and that really helps their brand. It helps put them in a fantastic light. And the players, now certain players don't need it. Certain players are going to go, I could care less, you know, but other players are going to see it and go, you know, this could really help me, my brand from a public image standpoint, from a public, well, you name it, whatever. I mean, it could mean the sponsors could see these and go, oh, and you know, almost, I hate to say it, but if these things go live every week, you know, the sponsor could write it into a contract. You got to do one.
That's
if your
right.
group is being followed, you have to do one.
Absolutely.
Live golf
but I mean,
on the golf course a week.
But why wouldn't you? I mean, if you think about the time
exactly.
spent in front of a microphone, okay, if you're Gary Woodland, for instance, who has been around for a long time, and I would say to any golf fan, they know who Gary Woodland is. If you went to these sports fans of this world, maybe they've heard of him, maybe they haven't. I mean, I think that's a fair thing to say.
True.
But if you think of
yeah.
what the time is spent in front of a mic for a Gary Woodland each week, if he's doing a 20-minute press conference that's airing, probably airing on Golf Channel, maybe, but it's going to be aired, you know, digitally, PGAtour.com might have it, whatever. How many people are watching that? If people are watching the actual broadcast and Gary Woodland's in front of a mic, that might be one of the few times a casual sports fan who's tuning into golf hears from them. So it's a really good chance to speak. Even post-run interviews, as you know, sometimes don't air, or sometimes they're, you know, tacked onto the back end of a broadcast. I mean, this is a chance for, if you will, a primetime interview to happen as the golf's unfolding. So, I mean, I think it's a brilliant plan for the players as well. I'd be shocked if they didn't make this kind of a regular thing, not just in 2019, but beyond. And like I said, I thought Bones did a great job. And I mean, I think the way you guys kind of laid it out is the way it's going to be. Let's ask two smart golf questions and get the hell out of their way. And that's the key. That's the key, is to not bother the guys, because if you don't bother the guys, they're going to say yes next time.
Yeah, I think it's going to, obviously, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen potentially in PGA Tour events, but I wouldn't even know. I would like to see it happen in the World Golf Championships, but those might be bigger events where the guys might not want to talk as much, but you never know. I mean, there are certain guys, Leishman hit kind of a poor wedge on 16, ripped it right back off the green, and he still talked to me. So guys like Leishman, who are just great people,
right?
You know, and Gary as well, they might talk to me or talk to whoever's on the ground, no matter what. But it'll be a wait and see. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic that these will continue, or we'll have one more tournament where they say, hey, we're going to do them again, but again, same rules apply. Da 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 da. And we'll see where it goes from there. I definitely don't see the USGA or the PGA of America or the RNA or the Augusta National allowing it on the golf course, because obviously no one's allowed to walk with the
ball. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see somebody walking down the
yeah.
middle of the fairway at 15 at Augusta going, so Phil,
yeah, exactly.
are you going to go for it or not?
Yeah, I'd like to see it happen. Maybe it's not every week. Maybe they decide to do it. Oh, you know what? We're going to do it once a month. We're going to do it once every 2 weeks. We're going to allow these. Maybe it's only on certain events, which again is fine as well. I would like to see it more often. It doesn't need to happen every week, because I think there's a novelty in listening to players once a month and listening to them talk and seeing if you can get, you know, three or four interviews in a round each day to talk to the players. And maybe it doesn't need to happen every week though. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, I mean, this would be a great opportunity, like this week and next. Of course, I didn't realize that it was just kind of an experimental phase. But, you know, this week
yeah.
and next week, with a lot of these rookies who a lot of people maybe have never heard of or never seen or never heard speak, it'd be fun to do, you know, on a Thursday and Friday, which is the early rounds, where there's some guys out there that maybe, you know, aren't going to get a lot of TV time, having kind of a rookie focus and having, you know, one guy, a Doug Gim, who's out there playing, and you know, you kind of throw his profile up and you say, this is a young guy that we think is going to have a great chance of having a long career. And let's go down to Aaron with Doug Gim, and you get a chance to ask him a couple of questions, and you can kind of almost have it as like a rookie reveal. I think that would be really cool. But we'll see what comes of it. I love that. I love, if nothing else, that it was introduced, and I love that you guys did a great job with it, because I think if it would have been botched, maybe they'd say never again. But the fact that you guys did a great job with it would have been
Like I said, you said there's no stress. Well, the fact that we were in the islands, that reduced my level of stress on those things to as low as it could go, but it was still a little stress.
So how close was the ball to hitting you guys?
Oh my gosh, that would have been a nightmare on a stick, Shane. I mean, that was my fault. I thought the interview went well, but the one thing I didn't do is I didn't keep them moving. I heard about it. Trust me, I heard about it in a nice way. I heard about it. Hey, keep them moving, AO.
Yeah, if he gets smoked in the head, we think these things are going to definitely go away.
That was the very first one. So I was, you know, making sure that I wanted the questions to come out the right way and the interview to go the right way, and not thinking about that we needed to keep walking, because yes, it is a walk and talk, and that was definitely my bad.
Yeah,
but the ones after that, I tried to keep the guys moving.
And so now you transition from an event with a lot of guys, you know, obviously, to, you know, in the Tournament of Champions now to the Sony, where there are going to be a lot of new faces. Does the homework happen before last week, or has it been mostly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, preparing yourself for, as I mentioned, guys that maybe you don't know on a first-name basis?
Well, as you know, we have a broadcast window, so you're going to see certain guys in that window. And for me, I don't know if we have one and two, but I'm pretty much the number two walker. So I'm the one that gets moved quite a bit. Unless Bones' group is really going downhill, he's going to be with the marquee group on Thursday afternoon, and I'm going to be with the number two group. So I believe I'm with Cameron Champ.
Too bad.
And so, I love my job. It's about as good as it gets.
Get binoculars.
Other than playing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, I'll go with those guys. I'll go with Cam and his group and Paul Casey, and I believe Siwoo Kim. So I only have to worry about those three guys. So when I get to do Tower, and I do Tower, now I have to worry about a chunk of the broadcast. But you know, am I going through 132 to 144, 56 bios every week? I'll be honest with you. No, that's almost impossible.
That's right. You're in Hawaii. You can't be working that hard.
Yeah. To learn 156 guys in a full field. You learn it as you kind of go throughout the year. But when you're on the ground, you have two or three guys, depending on how they're doing the tee times, to worry about each day, or maybe you've got six guys that you've got to worry about. But the funny thing is that you do have to do some studying in that broadcast window, because there might be, you know, Brant might move me. He might move me to another group. So I got to know what's going on in that other group and what those guys have done to a certain extent, or what their tendencies are. But for the most part, in the TV window groups where they're bigger names, I've walked with most of those guys. So I know what they do. And so my job on the golf course isn't really to give statistical information as much. It's to describe what's going on down there and what I think is going to happen with this guy's shot, or so on and so forth. So in that case, I don't need to be as studied on the stuff as, let's say, a Kurt Byram or Frank, or, you know, the guys in the towers or Mark Rolfing, who, you know, might need a little bit more statistical information about the player, or bio about the player, so on and so forth, to tell their story. I'll definitely read the bios, and I definitely read the bios, but it's more of what's going on the ground at that moment. What's his shot going to do, AO? What kind of situation is he in? And what are the odds of his, you know, of him pulling off this shot if it's in a tough situation?
Yeah, hopefully they don't Xander. Hopefully they don't Xander at like 17, and then you go, oh, well, actually, he came out.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I didn't see that one. I didn't have that shot.
You think you saw a lot of birdies last week? Oh my gosh, this week the guys are going to have wedges in their hand on just about every hole after they drive it. It's just a matter of whether they drive it between the tree lines at Wileye. So if they do that, the birdies, this is going to be a birdie fest. If the wind lays down, I could see, you know, this could be another, you know, 21 to 25 under with two par fives,
right,
instead of four.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, and it'll be fun.
This is absolutely a golf course where you gotta make those six, seven birdies around.
Are you golfing anymore, or are you just cycling all the time?
Well, I'm pretty much, well, you know, I'm playing a little bit. I'm playing a little bit. Not a ton. It when you don't work out and you don't train for it, Shane, the body hurts every time you pick up a golf club. And that I remember I playing 18 and I'm walking off 18, and my body hurt more after playing 18 holes the last time I played 18 holes than it did doing a 50-mile ride.
You're like, I'm done with this golf stuff. This is silly. Hey, we got to play. We played one time. It's like 5 miles from my house, for goodness sakes. And we haven't played since. I got to take you out to Phoenix Country Club. We got to do it at some point once you get a little bit of a break.
Well, I have to. I'm on the Champs Tour Schwab Cup finale. So I have to. I got to know that golf course anyway. So let's go play.
I would love to take you out, Aaron Obozo. I appreciate the time. Good luck this week. You've got more stuff throughout the season with Golf Channel, with NBC. Are you going to do some PGA Tour Live? What's the schedule like?
No, it's all Golf Channel, just a mixture of in studio and on the golf course, live golf, and in the tower, live golf. I've got a fairly light schedule through May, and then I get slammed after May. So June through the back end of the year, through pretty much June through November, is really slammed for me from a live golf perspective. But I do most of my studio stuff early in the year. So after this week, I go right on a plane, get off on the 14th, and on the 16th, I'm off to Orlando for Desert Classic. So that'll be a nice five-hour time change. I should be really awake for that first pregame show on Thursday.
And it's going to be when you're mumbling through the sentences. People are like, is he okay? Yeah. You're like, he was in Hawaii 30
exactly.
minutes ago.
What's wrong with him? He just got back from Hawaii.
Well, I appreciate the time. And like I said, we got to tee it up at some point soon.
That'd be great, Shane. I appreciate it.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Well, there you have it. The first clubhouse of 2019. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys are having an unbelievable winter. Hope you're getting a chance to hit some golf balls, maybe inside if you live in the Northeast or somewhere where that is really, really cold. I got a golf trip this weekend. 16 dudes coming my way. We're going to play 27 holes a day. Of course, this isn't the best time with sunlight, but we're going to get as much golf in as we can. And I'm in charge of coming up with some sort of a gambling scheme so we can all bet a little bit of dough as we play. I'm still trying to figure that out. So a golf trip this weekend, and we'll be back with a new clubhouse next week. And we got some guests already lined up. Yes, we're trying to plan ahead. That's a new thing for 2019. A big thanks to Robinhood. A big thanks to Titleist. And, of course, a big thanks to ZipRecruiter. We will talk to you guys next week.